Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this All Saints Sunday. The reading for today is from Revelation chapter 7. That'll be the basis for our meditation. What do you think of the book of Revelation? Some find it scary. Some find it comforting. Some have never read it. Some read it literally. Some read it symbolically or allegorically. Some read it through the lens of Christ and the scriptures and the creeds. It's called the rule of faith. Others find it too cryptic to understand at all, too hidden, too hard. I suppose that explains why there are so many books written about Revelation. Left behind makes us wonder whether or not we will be left behind, maybe a little afraid. Or Hal Lindsey's The Late Great Planet Earth. In other words, look out, the world is doomed. Or the Scofield Bible with its dispensational premillennialism, which most people can't even say, much less understand. And other books about the end times. I would even venture to guess that some have read more books about Revelation than the book of Revelation itself. And here we are in election week. With the amount of money going into campaign advertising in these last days, you'd think that this election will determine whether or not we will be the late great planet Earth. In today's text from Revelation 7, we hear John, the author of the book, give an account of what was revealed to him by Christ and the Holy Spirit. It's a look into the future, into the consummation of all things. A picture, if you will, of what will come for those who have had mercy because our Father first had mercy on us. In sum, Revelation tells us about who is there in heaven, what those who are there, the many, are wearing, and what they are saying. First and foremost, concerning the who is there. And first and foremost, we hear that God is there. Or to put it another way, Jesus is there, since Jesus and God are one. The text mentions him as the Lamb, and from John's Gospel we know Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's also hinted at the beginning of the text, verse 2, where it says, another angel ascending from the rising sun. This rising sun is interpreted by many to be a reference to the risen Son of God, that is to Jesus, who rises again on the third day for our salvation. Now, it's good to know that Jesus will be in heaven. Jesus will be really present in heaven and not like some TV shows and cartoons portray heaven as a place where you never really see him or never come near him. You're just hanging out on clouds or waiting in line. For what? A better heaven, maybe? Or talking to St. Peter or old friends? Well, fine. But never have really any interaction with the man who made him getting there possible. Quite the opposite in Scripture. Jesus is there. He is present. Now, watching a football game or a concert on TV isn't the same as actually being present at the event to see it and to hear it and to experience it. And that's what we have in Scriptures. We're actually there with Christ in heaven. It's also good to know that God will be really present, just as is he really present right now for us in his word and in his gifts of absolution and in baptism and in the Lord's Supper. There's these places is where we have direct access to God even now, though it's hidden through his means of grace. The other people in heaven, the rest, are all the saints. As the text says, a great multitude. Who are these saints? It is those who have the seal of the living God upon their foreheads, just as was given today to Veronica in her baptism. The seal is not visible on earth where it is received, but it is visible in heaven. The seal is the cross, a gift that marks us as ones redeemed by Christ the crucified. In this respect, all saints live hidden lives. Our lives may not look very holy and righteous on the outside. In fact, I know my life oftentimes does not look very holy or righteous, but a comparison, if you will, is cattle, or better, sheep. When you brand them, do they act different? No, but you do know now where they belong and who they belong to. I bet when little baby Veronica goes home today that she'll act a lot like she did yesterday. Not any more or any less saintly. Sorry, Melanie and Roger, nothing changes. Not even in the diaper department. And yet Veronica will go home a different person today, doesn't she? She has been sealed with God's promise, which is hidden from the world until the day that she stands before the throne and the Lamb who died in her place. This Lamb is the Good Shepherd. We thank and praise God when our lives on the outside look holy and good to outsiders. And what great things and what great compassion God has worked through His people, through visible works that we have seen. But even the good and holy things that we do for God are often hidden from the world. So let the buyer beware. The hiddenness of salvation was also demonstrated to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who looked on Him dying on the cross didn't see anything very divine about Him. As another pastor in our circuit has said, no one would have said that this man was dripping with divinity. Even His own disciples doubted Him. Who in this world claims to be God and yet allows himself to be condemned and die? But as those who had seen His resurrection and received the Spirit of God from on high bear witness in the Scriptures, the cross is the power of God and the wisdom of God. God has reconciled Himself to us and the whole world through this cross, for you and for me, by the forgiveness of our sins. Just as that reality was hidden to the world, so now our lives are hidden with Christ. Now let us consider the second question. What were these people in heaven wearing? Well, the text says that they were clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. You know, here in worship today, you see a number of things pointing us to what the heavenly reality is like according to the Word of God. Well, sure, our building isn't perfect. We don't have a golden foundation here. Our drywall has cracks in it. The floor squeaks some. But in the midst of all these weaknesses, God's grace abounds in pictures and in sounds of heavenly truth for all the saints. Pastor and I, for example, wear these white robes, not because we're perfect, not because we live perfect lives, or not really just to distinguish ourselves as pastors or shepherds, but what we wear here, these white robes, reminds everyone, all the saints, of what we will all be wearing before the throne and the Lamb in heaven. White robes. White robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now, usually, when we get our clothes bloody, it's called a stain. They don't turn white, but they turn red or even black. But in the spiritual kingdom into which Jesus ascended, His blood washes away all sin and stains, so that all who by faith wash in it right now through absolution, through baptism, and through the Lord's Supper will appear clean and white before God, clean and bright. Today we sang before the sermon hymn, "Behold a host arrayed in white." That hymn confesses the how of our future. For the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sins. Now my parents used to do something to me when I was young that I hated, especially when I got a little bit older. When I was young, I really didn't know, but later on I became more aware of it, and it really disgusted me. They used to take their thumb, and they would lick it, and then they would clean off my face in public, especially when there wasn't a sink around or any wet wipes. And as I've gotten older now and have kids myself, I tend to do the same thing now. And I know other people my age that do the same thing. But think about it for a second, what we're doing. We're taking something of ourselves and cleaning off one of our children. taking a little bit of saliva and cleaning us off. Likewise, God put his seal upon us, making us his own children. He didn't give his own saliva to wash off mere dirt or crumbs from our faces, but he gives his most precious gift, the blood of his own son, in order to reverse the sin and stain of death from our bodies. His blood does not stain, it sanitizes, it cleanses, and thus our clothes don't absorb light, they reflect it, bright light. They are made white in the blood of the Lamb. Then the last question, what will these saints in heaven be saying? What will these who are wearing white robes say? Well, they'll say, according to the text, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. What we'll be saying is that God in heaven gets all the glory for our life and salvation. No one there was saying how I get some of the honor for my part, and yay me, and then God, you get some of the honor for your part, yay you. No, God in heaven gets all the glory for his love and for his wisdom, and he shares that wisdom and that glory and that honor with us. No one else, not Aristotle, not Thomas Aquinas, not Albert Einstein, or even Solomon, matches the wisdom of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus. Thanksgiving belongs to our God for that which he gave, his only begotten Son. Honor belongs to God because he created us. Power and might too, because he created all things. God is almighty, we say. A father, not a taskmaster. Heavenly worship is what this text is all about and pointing us to. Us together with him and him with us, knowing that he hears and accepts us on account of Jesus. We will know his presence as he sits right there on the throne, where we can worship him night and day in his temple. The text says, he who sits upon the throne will shelter us with his presence. Finally, some other questions are answered here. Will we be hungry? No. Can the sun burn us and cause skin cancer? No. The sun shall not strike or any scorching heat. Will we have to look around for a place to find a drink? No. Will we have to cry to get someone to pay attention to us? No, the Lamb will be our shepherd and will guide us to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from our eye. So thank and praise the Lord, all you his saints, for the baptismal seal of confidence and for God's love, grace, and forgiveness. We thank God today for Veronica, another saint added to the great multitude. God has made good his promise to make Abraham a father of many nations. And thank the Lord for revealing to us what heaven and heavenly worship is like. Worship for all the saints who from their labors rest, who thee by faith before the world confessed, thy name, O Jesus, be forever blessed. Alleluia. Alleluia. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise for the prayers of the church.